I typically stick very strictly to the King James version of the Bible. That is, if you know me and you've been here for any length of time, you can probably count on one hand in a year how many times I use something different. Well, today you can put that on one of your hands. I just liked the way it sounded in this version, and don't worry, it's not a doctrinal thing or anything like that, but it's kind of nice the way it reads. Proverbs 31 and verse 31, and really is what we want to do today. It says, give her credit for all she does. She deserves the respect of everyone. Give her credit for all she does. She deserves the respect of everyone. That is the today's English version. I always tease Brother Anderson about using the New Living Translation. And so today, I don't worry, I'm not going to go crazy today. We do this one time a year. We honor our mothers. And today I hope I can do this in the right manner and say this in the right way. Because so often, they don't get enough credit and they don't get enough respect. And so today I just want to preach on this message. The greatest mother in the world. Everybody's mind just flashed somewhere right now. Everybody's mind just went somewhere at this moment when I said that. The greatest mother in the world. Jesus, God, I know, Lord, more than anyone, that I cannot do this without you. God, I need your help. I need your anointing. God, I know who I am without you, and I know what my abilities are without you. And so, God, I ask you right now one more time for your anointing to be upon me. God, to help me to speak these words. God, I pray, Lord, that this message would go forth in the right manner and in the right way. God, that somehow I could stir our hearts, challenge us, and encourage us. And God, I ask, Lord, that your word would speak clearly. God, that your word would go forth in the right manner. And God, that someone's heart would be changed this morning. Help me today, Lord, as I preach your word. I need you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest mother in the world. No one deserves a special day all to herself more than mom. Driving home last night, my 9-year-old boy, Jared, said, Dad, I need your help. I need you to give me a hand when we get home. I'm like, for what, Jared? Well, unless you want me to run the drill myself. Okay, I'll help. What are you wanting to do? He said, I want to make a Mother's Day gift for my mom. I said, well, what are you making? He said, well, what I need to do is get some sticks, and I got to drill a hole through the center of them, and I got to drill a hole across way through them, and I got to whittle them around, and I'm going to make her a set of wind chimes. This was at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I said, Jared, you should have probably started that a little bit sooner. But as I thought on that, I came to realize that really is the way it goes. Oh, we have good intentions. We love our mothers dearly. We want the world's best for them. But how often is it that last minute we're off to the store? Last minute we're getting that card. Last minute we're trying to put something together. And it's never as special as the thought we have in our mind. Because in our mind it is such a special time. If we had only started sooner. Don't worry, I'm not standing here saying I am the world's best son. My Mother's Day gift is still sitting at Lowe's, waiting to be bought. My wife asked me yesterday, What are we doing for your mom? I said, well, we always go to Lowe's. And we always buy her flowers. But I'm not doing this. I honestly do this with the right heart because I know she likes to get out and plant. And she likes to get out in the spring. And she likes her gardens to look really nice. And so we try to get her some very special things that she can put in. And each year her garden becomes more and more decorated from the things that we buy her to put there. And so yes, it is there. But we will take some time. And we will find her that special gift. No one deserves a special day all to herself more than mom. There is a Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Mothers have an influence on their children. You see, I can affect your kids from a distance, and they may look up to me, and they may see me from, and I may be able to shake their hand, and I may dedicate your child, and I may pray for them, but I am not going to influence your child like you will. I'm not going to be able to teach them the morals and teach them the values and teach them the truths like you will. Oh, we try our best to teach them what we can in Sunday school, and we try to do what we can at vacation Bible school and at the different things, the kids' night out and all of the things we do. But let me tell you today, no one can do it like you do it at home. No one can do it than when your child sees you at home and you're teaching them and you're telling them and you're showing them. And Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor that has a godly mother. If your child sees you praying, if your child sees you reading the Bible, if your child sees you being kind, if your child sees you coming to church, if your child sees you doing the important things in life, guess what you're doing? You are influencing your child to be something for God. There was a psychologist one day who was talking to his patient. And he was talking to a mother and he said, let's see. He said, you spend 50% of your energy on your job. You spend 50% of your energy on your home. You spend 50% of your energy on your husband and 50% on your children. I think I see the problem. There's just not enough energy to go around. I want to read as I am getting into this. Don't worry, I'm still making my introduction. We'll be out of here by at least 1 or 2 o'clock today. Oh, I could do it. But you all wouldn't be here. I'd see each one of you kind of minute by minute. Oh, I got to slip out here. Before long, I'd have about 3 people now. The greatest, this poem is called The Greatest Mother in the World. The world has many mothers worthy of honor and acclaim. But standing today in complete humility, only one I must choose to name. She has demonstrated love beyond the source of all that she has known. She is aligned with all divinity. The love of God is now her own. She has demonstrated faith when to all it seemed there is no way. She is both faithful and determined. Miracles are caused by her each day. She has demonstrated courage in the face of awesome doubts and fears. She is the rock of perseverance, as I have witnessed through the years. She has demonstrated patience that could not be justified at all. She transcends the challenging burdens that she has known from very small. She has demonstrated genius I have never seen before. She creates life each day from nothing. A mother her children must adore. I could continue on and on, an endless tribute to her unfurled. But let me say, she is quite simply the greatest mother in the world. When Moses was born, it was a time of incredible crisis. He was born at a time when the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, had given orders that no more male Hebrew children should be allowed to live. The Hebrew slaves had been reproducing so fast that the king felt threatened by the potential revolt against his authority. He was worried that one day they would rise up against him, that one day this great nation that was inside his borders would one day fight against him. And so he made this decree: I want to kill off every male child. Every child that is born, every new child born, I want them to be killed. And so it was, child after child died. And child after child was thrown into the Nile River only to be eaten by the crocodiles. And child by child, thought he was coming to pick out his flower early. I love brothers. You're going to get me later. But child by child is killed. But yet in this time there is a story of a woman. And the Bible says in Exodus 2 and verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. He turned me off. That'll show you. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it with flags by the riverbank. Here was a mother who decided that I am going to do everything I can to hide my child from this death. I'm going to do everything I can to keep him out of the hands of these people. I'm going to do all that I can in order to preserve my child. And I don't know a mother in this house who wouldn't go to every extent to do everything she could to save her children, to do anything and everything she could to protect them and to care for them and to watch over them. The word goodly there simply means valuable or precious. She had this child and she looked at it and she said, this is a precious child. Anyone ever had that moment? Any mother in this room can say, yes, I remember that day. After all of the trouble, after all of the pain, after all of that time, this child is now looking at me, is the most precious thing my eyes have ever laid on. And day after day, she did everything she could. Why? Because this child was precious. She did everything. We are struggling with our sound system. Forgive us. She did everything she could. I liked being hot. I liked it loud. Some of you didn't, but I did. She did everything she could to protect what was valuable, to protect what was precious. I want you to notice what this mother Jochebed did. The Bible says here that she hid him. She hid him for as long as she could. She did everything in her power to protect her child. And when she could no longer do it anymore, she built for her child an ark. She built a basket to put her child in, to protect her child. You've got to catch that this morning. She did everything that she could while she could at home. But one day, she had to set her child free. One day, she was going to have to let her child go. One day, she was going to have to give her child away. And she said this, it's not going under any circumstances. They're not going to be able to get my child. I'm going to build an ark of safety for my child. I'm going to build something that my child can travel through. I can just see her day after day as she weaves that basket. As she puts those pieces together. And while trying to keep her child silent and trying to keep her child hidden, yet knowing that one day she's going to have to let that child go, she puts peace by piece by piece together. She's putting these pieces together. Why? Because one day, I'm not looking forward to that day, but I recognize that one day I'm going to have to let my children go. One day they are gonna grow up, and one day they are gonna be too big, and one day I'm gonna have to say to them, well, son, it's good to have you here. You can come visit whenever you want. I mean, they're gonna be at least 45. But one day, they'll get sick of me long before I'll get sick of them. I can just see her as she's doing this, piece by piece, putting this together. I can just hear her saying these words as she is doing this. You may get these other children, but you're not getting my child. You may be getting all these other babies around, but not my child. You are not going to get this child. You are not going to get this boy. He's mine. He's precious. He's goodly. He's valuable. And you are not going to get him. And so day by day, I can just hear her as she is just a small baby quoting to him, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I can just hear her quoting and telling him, you are not an Egyptian, you are a Hebrew child. You have been set apart, you are different. And day by day, not my child. It is sickening when you read the statistics. alcoholics and problem drinkers number 1.6 million under the age of 14. Teenage suicide soaring at staggering rates. One number says 700% in 12 years. 60% of marriages failing and reaping a harvest of broken hearts and guilt-ridden children. This year alone, 3,195 young people will more than likely be shot to death in America. And this year alone, 350 some thousand kids will suffer abuse from their own families. Over 1 million teenagers will run away from home. Over 50,000 will be locked away in juvenile prisons. Over 900 teenage girls will become pregnant. And almost half of them will have abortions and have to bear the guilt the rest of their lives. Do you know what I'm trying to say this morning? This is the word that I'm trying to say. Hide them as long as you can. Do everything you can to protect those children. Do everything you can to instill in them. Hide them by putting discipline in your home. They need to know right from wrong. They need to know how to live. And there is a way to live. And the Bible will tell us how to do it. I need to put a discipline in my home. They need to have discipline in their own lives. It's not good enough to just do everything that you want to do. There is a word called no, and you've got to learn it. There is a word called failure, and you've got to learn it. There are times when everything doesn't go your way, and you've got to understand it. You've got to know that there is some disciplines in your life. Let me tell you, there's a discipline that has to be there. It's called prayer. I've got to have that discipline in my home. There is nothing more touching in our house than in the early mornings or sometimes at night. I can hear my wife tucked away in a room all by herself, but her prayers come echoing through the halls and through the rooms of our homes. And guess what? The very same thing happened when I was a child. I can remember what my mom used to do, and I'm telling you, and I don't say it lightly, the reason I stand here today is not because of me. I've got a mother who prayed some prayers, and she prayed some prayers forward. Hide them. They need the disciplines of reading their word, of reading their Bible, of knowing the Word of God, of learning and memorizing Scripture. They need the disciplines of coming to the house of God. They need to know that this is the greatest thing that can ever be in your life. Oh, I'm not saying we're perfect, and I'm not saying the church doesn't make mistakes. But can I make this statement? I may close with it, I may not. Well, I'm not closing, but when I close, I may close with this. Some of you are like, really? Now I done forgot what I was gonna say. Dear Lord. That's a very rare thing. The preacher loses his thought. Our children need to know this is the most important thing in their life. I'm going to close with this. I know it hit me. At some point, I may. The church was created for a purpose. You know what it was? The church was supposed to be the mother of all of us. The church is supposed to be the mother for every single one. We are. The church is the bride of Christ. When you're born again of water and of spirit, you take on your daddy's name. You take on the name of Jesus. But you also become born again by the church, the mother who is the bride of Christ. Oh, it's not perfect, but I'm here to tell you, it'll be the best mom you've ever had. You may not have had the best childhood, but I can tell you, fall in love with the church and see how the church helps you and grows you and keeps you straight and keeps you living right and keeps you holy and keeps you pure. You want the power of the Father. You want the strength of the Father. Fall in love with the mother. You've got to have them both. There's a reason God made two. Because it takes both a father and a mother to raise a child. It was divinely orchestrated that way. How'd I get there? You need some disciplines. Hide them. Why? There's a roaring lion that is out there that would like to devour them. There is a Pharaoh out there. There is a world that is out there that would like to eat your children up. They would like to kill your children and destroy your children and put on them devices and abuses and things that years later they'll do nothing but regret . Can I say this, Mom? It might be your hiding. It might be your hiding of them that is the only thing between them and disaster. It just might be that ark you made for them. It just might be that prayer you prayed for them. It just might be those words you spoke to them that will keep them one day from terrible choices. Hide them. As long as possible. I was just with my friend Eric, pastors in Canton, and he was talking about my boys and he's talking about them and liking girls and all this stuff. I said, hold on, we don't talk about that. He says, oh, you got to understand, one day it's going to happen. I said, I know, but I'm going to keep them innocent just as long as I can. Because this world is teaching our children far too young about things they have no business knowing. Oh, you're going to touch something in me. That television that you keep playing, that you don't know what your kids is watching, let me tell you, it's teaching them values that you don't want them to know yet. It is putting things in them. I'm here to help somebody. Hide them as long as possible. Oh, one day you'll have to set them loose. One day you'll have to turn them over. But I know I've got some people who would agree. I've got to hide them. Hide them from the lust and the corruption of this world, the hopelessness that is in this world. You see, the world thinks it has all the right answers, and so they teach them sex education in the elementary school. You know what they're teaching them? They're teaching them how to do it so they can get somebody pregnant. Guess what the best way is? They don't know nothing about it. Their mind's not even thinking about it. My boys don't even know. We were just at a park in Cogga Falls. The stuff they were talking about. Little girls yelling to these young baseball players, blank me. I'm talking 11, 12 years old. They shouldn't know that yet. I heard them talking about, it's okay as long as it's with your partner. Just don't go sleeping around with a bunch. That's the values that they're learning out there. Hide them as long as possible. They think they know best. They give them abortions without parental consent. They hand them the values of Hollywood, Madison Avenue. They say, grow up and be like that. They fill their minds with humanistic hopelessness. So I wonder this morning if there's some mothers who say, I want to be like Jochebed and I will hide my children. You may get some others, but mine, oh no you won't. I'm gonna say differently. And so I asked this morning, was Jochebed the greatest mother? And I'm going to say no. We can learn a lot from her. The book of Proverbs are the writings of a man who has given us, who was given extraordinary wisdom from God. He is referred to as the wisest man in the earth. His writings have been studied and pondered for centuries. His wisdom and understanding are unmatched, and his proverbs are a collection of these writings. It is 1 Kings 4:32 that lets us know, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. This man just would quote them off and rattle them off. His wisdom was so strong, and in this book, he writes about all sorts of things. Let me tell you what you can find in this. You can find understanding into how to be a good parent in the book of Proverbs. You can find out how to be a good husband or a good wife. You can find out how to spend your money or save your money. You can find out how to have good relationship and choose the right friends. You can find out how to be a good friend. You can find out how to use your time wisely. You can learn about leadership. You can learn about integrity. You can study these pages and get understanding in almost all avenues of life. But what I want to point out this morning was that here was a man who has grown up into one of the greatest men in the world. And he closes the book of Proverbs with a tribute to his mother. He is known by most of us as Solomon. He was given another name by the prophet Nathan, and he called him Jedidiah, which means beloved by God. But yet, at the closing portion of this book of Proverbs, he uses a name called Lemuel, which means devoted to God. The believed reason for his use of this name is because it is believed that this was a pet name given to him by his mother. It was his nickname. How many mothers in this house have a nickname? I know you do, for your children. I almost don't know her by another name. He had a nickname. And here in the closing book of wisdom, he reaches back to a name that his mother used when she held him so dear. And she would whisper in his name and call him Lemuel. The reason he uses this was because he remembered back and he knew this was his and her special bond together. And so he writes this in the closing chapter of the book of Proverbs. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And for 31 verses, it is a tribute to mom. And so he writes, and now I read out of the today's English version, verse 28, her children show her appreciation, and her husband praises her. He says, many women are good wives, but you are the best of them all. Men, when was the last time you told your wife she was the best thing in your life? I didn't mean to get anybody in trouble. Whisper it to her now. Charm is deceptive and beauty disappears. But a woman who honors the Lord should be praised. Give her credit for all she does. She deserves the respect of everyone. In all of Solomon's learning, in all of his understanding, in the end, he had to say, my mom taught me some things.
Praise God.
And he writes a whole chapter telling about this great woman. But let me ask, was she the greatest mother? I don't think so. Oh, she taught great things. Her son grew up to be a wealthy man, a great man, a wise king, a wise man, and a noble. But was she the greatest? You could argue Mary, mother of Jesus. You could argue Timothy's mother. You could go through the line. You could talk about Sarah and her child. You could talk about the different mothers through the Bible and have to ask the question, was she the greatest mother in the world? I would argue today that the greatest mother in the world is my mother. My boys would argue that it's their mother, and they would have a really strong argument. And you may argue today and say it was my mother, and you could give me 100 reasons why it was your mom. But I'm here to say that the greatest mother that God ordained was the church. This was the mother that he ordained. In all of our flaws, in all of our imperfections, in the things we may not do right, let me tell you, if the church is going towards God, they are the greatest mother in the world. And if today you cannot say that my mom was the best mom, if today you would for some reason say that no, she wasn't, let me tell you, there is a mother that you can fall in love with that will love you back the way a mother should.
Amen.
And that's the church.
Praise God.
This should be a place where you're welcome. It should be a place where there's no fear, where you can... You don't have to worry about being hurt. This is a place where you feel love. This is a place where you're taught right from wrong. It's a place where you're held accountable. It's a place where you're challenged to do better, where you're pushed to greatness. There is a mother that will say, you can do more. I believe in you. And so I close, if you all stand. I close with a poem called A Mother's Influence. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. You have one chance. I'm speaking to you mothers who still have children. You have one chance to put your fingerprint in their life. You see, we serve a God of second chances. And we serve a God of mercy and grace. But He gives us as parents one shot. With each child, I have one chance. And the imprint I leave on them is the imprint they will carry. So I challenge the mothers today, leave the best imprint you can in their life. Mold them and shape them to be children of God. Let me tell you, I liked what Abraham Lincoln said. No man is poor who has had a godly mother. The greatest mother in the world is a godly mother. A mother who serves God with all her heart, who teaches her children the right ways. And so in closing this morning, I always do this. I even myself have some traditions I like. And I want all of the mothers to come this morning. We have a gift for you. And I want you to come and stand in front of this altar. Don't worry, I'm not going to call anybody or embarrass anybody. I'm not going to do anything. I want one flower for every mother. Just come line up. We can't offer you much. We can't offer you much. But we want this flower to be a token of our appreciation to you. It's a living example. It's a living example. Day by day, it's a living example of beauty, of value. And I want these flowers to be a reminder to all of you of this message, that I want to be, you should say, I want to be the greatest mother in the world. Now I want all of you sons, daughters, children, grandchildren, come stand behind each of these ladies, husbands, wives, or husbands, I guess not wives, wives probably already up. Nieces, nephews, I don't know, did I get them all? I think. And we want to pray a prayer of blessing. Upon each of these ladies today. I wish my wife was in here. Because I would like to pray for her as well. She is included. I have been so blessed to have two godly women in my life. I moved out of my home with one and moved into a home with another. I've been blessed. Let's pray. Jesus, God, we thank you for today. Lord, you've given us a beautiful day. A wonderful day. It's a day that you've created. It's a day that you've made. And on this day, we choose to honor these mothers. Lord, we choose to honor them for their sacrifice, for their commitment, for their perseverance, for their love, for their care. Lord, for all of the many things that they do day by day that go unnoticed. And Lord, we say thank you for them. God, I pray, Lord, on this blessed day and on this very special day that you from heaven would come down to them and, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them and they would feel your presence and know that you love them so much. You've created them for a divine and specific purpose. You made them for a reason. They were not created as something that was less. They were created divinely by something and for something very special that no one else could do but a mother. There is only a love that a mother could have. There is only attributes that a mother could have. And God, we thank you for creating them. We thank you for forming them. And we thank you, Lord, for giving them to us. And God, I pray, Lord, on this day that your blessings would just fall over them. God, that you, Lord, would just touch them in a special way here today. Let them feel your presence. Let them know today that you love them so much. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen.